Right. This morning, I want to share with you for a few minutes here about taking off the limitations, breaking out of your limitations. You know, everybody has a limitation they put on God in their life. Hello? You know, in the corporate world, they used to talk about, you know, with the women and all, talking about the glass ceiling, you know, that because of the prejudice that's existed for so long in the corporate world, you know, women could only rise so far. Then they hit the glass ceiling, you know, because of a predisposed wrong ideas, wrong thinking that prevailed in the corporate world for many, many years. And because of that wrong thinking and everything, what did it do? It limited the potential of those people, those women, didn't it? And you know, here's the thing. Every one of us, you're at a ceiling somewhere in your life. And you're bumping up against, as it were, spiritually, a glass ceiling. It is a ceiling, but it is not a ceiling that God put there. It is a ceiling, just like in that corporate world, it is a ceiling that wrong thinking has put there. Sometimes it's just like the corporate world, the church has, you know, set certain kinds of what we think are standards and levels of thinking. And so in the church, we become by association, we have allowed limitations to be put on us. That God will do this, but not that. God will use me this way, but not that way. God will bless me this way, but not that much. And then once we set those marks and all, then we proclaim that to be gospel. And once in our minds it's gospel, then that's it. Because who's going to fight against the gospel? So I want us to look at it for a few minutes. I want to talk about breaking out of our limitations. And listen, everybody's got them. I got them, you got them, we all got them. And the first thing is we got to recognize, hey, we got them. Is that right? Just understand that. Turn to Isaiah 54. We're going to start there in verse 2 and 3. It's a good place to start. Isaiah 54, 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. What is God saying? I'm going to tell you what. Let me encourage you this. No matter what I say, what anybody else says, you make sure, what is God saying? What is God saying? Yeah, but that's just kind of been our tradition right here. What is God saying? Yeah, but you know, my granny was a holy woman, and this is what she said. That's wonderful. But what does God say? Because you will never move past limitations until you find out what has God said. Proverbs 23:7 in the King James, part of that verse says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The word translated there, thinketh, comes from the word meaning to act as a gatekeeper. To act as a gatekeeper. So, you know, in the Old Testament, in Bible days, the gates of the city had a lot of meaning. That was where the elders ruled. That was the seat of government. That's where decisions were made about what the city would do, what the village would do and wouldn't do. It was the way of entrance and exit. It was guarded very carefully. All of these things. And now you think about it. He said that as a man thinketh, that acts as the gatekeeper to your life. What are you allowing to come in and what are you allowing to rule and reign in your life? It depends on what? On what you are thinking. Well, I just don't believe God wants to do that. Well, listen, you just set up the gatekeeper there. The gatekeeper's... You know, this is a remarkable thing and we need to really remind ourselves of this. That is that any person can keep God out of your life. Some of y'all look at me like you don't believe that's so. It's true. If that wasn't true, everybody would be saved. No. Listen, you got as much of God as you want. I know, you know, oh, listen, I didn't say you weren't hungry for more God, but right now you've got as much of God as you want. And if you stay hungry after God, you'll get more. But here's the thing, our thinking limits us sometimes because it acts as the gatekeeper. I know all kinds of people, you know, they can't get delivered from their sickness because they've been taught that God don't heal. There's all kinds of people bound up and struggling along in their poverty because they've been taught that money's bad, money's wrong, God don't want you to have anything. Well, that has become a gatekeeper in their life. And you know what? What we do is we limit God that way in our life. And not only that, that even as tragic as it is to limit God in your life, what is even more tragic is we limit God in other people's lives. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. He said, not only do you not enter into all the blessings of God, but he said, by your teaching and by the things you set up, he said, you prevent others who would enter in from entering in. Your thinking is the gatekeeper for your heart. Turn to Matthew 12. Your thinking is the gatekeeper to your heart. We're going to see how important that is. Matthew 12. Do you know, in the natural and in the spiritual, any new thing was first a thought. Are you listening to me? Somebody had to be willing to think outside the box. Somebody had to be willing to say, hey, just because we've always sat on a rock doesn't mean we can't have a chair. Well, no, we've always been rock setters. We're not going to sit on that nice cushiony chair. We are. Mama was a rock sitter. Grandpa was a rock sitter. And bless God, that's good enough for me. I'm going to sit on a rock too. Somebody said, hey, why don't we, hey, how about a chair? Get you up off the ground. It's a lot more comfortable. But you know, it's amazing. We laugh at that. But you know, in the church, we're just as bad. Oh, we never done that before. We never heard that before. You know, what is it? Our gatekeeper. It's telling us, no, no, don't let that in. Don't let that in. Oh, look out. Don't let that in. How powerful is that? In Matthew 12, let me get over there. I'm in Mark. Matthew 12, I'm going to read you something here. Powerful word here. 12:35. Well, let me back up to 34. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Listen, what you are receiving is being produced from your heart. But the gatekeeper to your heart is your thinking. Because if you think on evil, guess what's going to fill your heart? And what's going to come out of your heart? And what is it going to produce in your life? But if you fill your thoughts with God's word and you begin to think God's thoughts, God's words, you begin to let that be the gatekeeper, what's going to fill your heart? Faith and God things. And what's it going to bring out? We're talking about breaking out of the limitations. You know, I know it's not easy to break out of limitations. It's easy to just do the same old, because it's just, you know, it's comfortable. I don't even have to think about it. I just do it. I just, you know, I don't even realize I'm doing it. I just do it. It's just habit. It's just, we've always done it. And, you know, no, I don't really like the results and I don't like what I got. And I'm not all that happy with my life. But, you know, listen, we've got to break out of that. Can we dare to think from God's word something new? Can we do that? Listen, you will not believe beyond the boundaries of your thinking. You will not believe beyond the boundaries of your thinking. Turn over to Romans 12. You can't do it. You cannot believe beyond the boundaries of your thinking. You can't do it. You can't do it. Everybody has a belief system that is governing your life. Absolutely. It's governing your life. The way you live, the way you use your resources, everything about it's governing you. Whether you realize it or not, it's governing your life. And in Romans 12, verse 2, we know this. What it says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test or prove what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So here's the thing. He says there is a conforming that is trying to take place, a squeezing that's trying to take place. In other words, somebody, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world is trying to influence the gatekeeper. Because whoever controls the gate controls the city. And the city, in this case, being your heart. And the heart is the ruler of man. The heart is the governing source in man, the spirit of man, the heart of man. And it is the work of the kingdom, the God of this world. He is doing his best to control the gatekeeper. What you think. Man, I mean, he's working, man, telling you, you're going down, you're not going to make it. Look at the economy, look how bad it is. All these people are losing their jobs. You're going to lose yours, your business, you're going to lose your house. This is it, your kids, you know, all these people, you're hearing about all these people getting shot and all, you're probably going to be next. I know that's blunt, but you know, I know how the devil works. He's telling you all this stuff. And he ain't not just doing it an hour and a half on Sunday. It's not just from 11:30 to 12 on Sunday that these thoughts are hitting you. But for many people, the only time God's thoughts hit your gatekeeper is from 11:30 to 12 on Sunday. And then you wonder, why can't I think something new? Why am I struggling to believe what the pastor says? I saw the verses. I saw it where it says God wants to meet all my needs. Why am I struggling? I'm going to tell you why. Because of the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper of your thinking has been ingrained in you. Listen, just think about it in the natural. Let's say that we're both going to get in shape. Rick and I are going to get in better shape. He's already in shape, so I would say better shape. And Rick goes and he works out several times, if not every time, but 4 or 5 times a week. I work out 30 minutes on Sunday. Who's going to be in the better shape? Aw. But I'm sincere. I am. I'm sincere those 30 minutes. I mean, I really mean it. I really do want to be in shape. It's no different in spiritual things. We give over our gatekeeper to the God of this world speaking to us all during the week, all during the week, all during the week, all during the week. And yet we give God time to speak 30 minutes. That is if you listen the whole 30 minutes. Isn't that right? But here, what ought you to be doing? During the week, you need to be feeding yourself. Feeding the gatekeeper. Because I'm going to tell you, whoever feeds it the most, that's who's going to control the gate. Whoever controls the gate, Jesus said, he's going to control your heart, and that's going to determine what you eat. You can eat fear, you can eat doubt, you can eat worry, you can eat anxiety, you can eat lack, you can eat all these things, or you can eat the good of the land. Same thing Jesus told the Israelites. He said, what are you doing? He was saying, what are you doing sitting here under the rule of Rome? Why did they get mad at Jesus? I mean, Jesus came in and preached a great message. He said, I'm anointed. Here I am. It's the Lord's Jubilee. It's time to be set free. It's time to get back everything you want. They got mad and run him out of church. Isn't that the wildest reaction you ever heard from such a positive message? But here's the thing, what? Their gatekeeper had been trained. Oh, yeah, but that was back from Moses' day. Don't you remember how often the Pharisees, they would quote, yes, the prophets said, the prophets did, God did. No different, nothing's changed in all the world. Same thing in the church today. Yeah, God used to do that. Gatekeeper. You won't believe beyond the boundaries of your thinking. Listen, narrowness of mind leads to smallness of faith. Turn to Matthew 16. We're talking about breaking out of our limitations. Narrowness of mind leads to smallness of faith. 16, we're going to read verse 19. Notice what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Did Jesus say that? All right, now here's the thing. He said, whatever. What's a whatever? Everything, anything. He said, whatever. Whatever we bind, whatever we loose. He said, I'm going to give you the keys. Here's the thing. What are you doing with the keys? Well, I made a nice little key rack holder. It's got a cross on it. It's got a nice gold hook, and I hung the keys right there. And every day I go by, I say, wow, I got the keys. Or are we doing something? We're taking the keys and we're unlocking some things. We're unlocking some things. And listen, the first thing that we need to bind is some of our thinking. And the first thing we need to lose is some other of our thinking. See, because how do we bind up the hand of God? We limit him by our thinking. You say, oh, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, we're going to see in just a minute. We're going to find out that it is. Listen, we bring forth what we think upon the most. What are you eating in your life? Oh, I just don't have any peace, Pastor. I just can't have any peace. Well, we know what you're feasting on. Amen. We know what you're thinking on. You're thinking on trouble. You're thinking on all the junk that everybody's saying. You're all uptight. But, you know, we'll quote a scripture to you and you'll go, oh, yeah, that's right. But then you don't think on it. You don't allow the gatekeeper to be strengthened by the word of God. You let other things come in and get control and access into your spirit. No wonder you can't sleep. No wonder you're all uptight. No wonder you're working on an ulcer. Listen, we're talking about taking off the limitations from God. Turn to Psalm 78 real quick. I'm going to read you a scripture here, and I'm telling you what, if you'll let this thing sink in, oh my goodness. It says, again and again they put God to the test. They limited. That word there translated limited is always also has the meaning of vexed. But it literally means they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Think about that a minute. All that God wanted to do for Israel, but they wouldn't let him. I said they wouldn't let him. And listen, what, you know, that word there, where it says, the word limited, they limited the Holy One. Listen to this. That word means also to imprint or set a mark. To set a mark. To imprint or set a mark. So here's what we say. Faith allows the greatness and largeness of God in you to come forth because what? You set the mark for God to move in your life. They set the limits. God, you are not able to take us in. And they didn't go in. God didn't set that mark. They set the mark. They set the limit. They said, this is how much God can do and no more. What are we, where's our limit? What is the limit we've set on God? We say, I believe that God will help me somehow, some way. It'll be tough, but somehow I believe I'll manage to get by. God didn't set that limit, you did. Hello? Well, I just don't know if, man, I'm telling you, the doctor said this was an incurable disease. You set the limit. Hello? Well, you know, there's been generations in my family and they all struggled with alcohol. You set the limit. Why would you want to set the limit where you struggled all your life? That's what the Israelites did. They had just enough God so that, you know, they didn't immediately perish, but all their life they were miserable. Come on. They were miserable. Not because God made them miserable. It was because they had such pathetic limitations they put on God. Well, we ain't going to have much peace, and we ain't going to enjoy God's provision, and we don't like the way God's leading us, and we don't like this, and we don't like that. Remember the time God got the maddest at them? Is when they said, can God? Can God? To imprint and set a mark. Where have you set the mark for God in your life? Where have you set the mark? Is that it? Have you arrived? You're retired in God? A lot of Christians have retired. Some have taken an early retirement. You've retired in God because you're not growing. And you're not growing because what? You set the bar, but you've reached that bar, and now you're content. But God says it's time for you to raise the limitations. Really, He wants us to come to a place where we take off the limitations. But I understand, all of us, we have to grow to that point. But we need to say, hey, look, I'm not going to put limitations on me. You know? You know, listen, if you want to be broke, but don't force that on me. Isn't that right? If you want to be miserable and unhappy in your Christian walk, well, that's your privilege, but don't force it on me. Isn't that right? I don't know why you'd want to live that way. Just take the limitations off God. Didn't Jesus say that with God, almost everything is possible? All things are possible. And didn't He also, that same Jesus, say that almost all things are possible to him that believes? Oh, he said all. So in other words, what's He saying? As soon as He said that, what is He saying? No limitations. No limitations. Somebody said, yeah, well, I know somebody that really, they got out of the boat like Peter and they got wet. Well, I'd rather be a wet water walker than somebody that is a dry boat critic. Got too many Christians that are drying the boat and they're criticizing everybody that got wet because they got out of the boat. Listen, it's easy to criticize when you're in the boat. Get out of the boat. You might have a different view. You might have a different perspective. Isn't that right? See, one of the reasons some people put limitations, it can be a limitation on you, is that you can't let go of the past. Anybody besides me ever had a failure? Two or three of us. You know, if you dwell on that past failure and you dwell on that thing, you know what? It becomes just like, you ever seen, you know, they put a dog on one of these chains, you know, and he can go so far. He's limited, isn't he? That thing, they got that thing tied to the, you know, something sturdy. And that dog, he can run about 20 feet. That thing yanks back. That's the way the past is for some people. The past, you're dwelling on the past, and it limits you. You're running, running, running. Pretty soon you get trained, I ain't even going to run. Because I'm getting tired of jerked on that chain. Listen to this. Listen to this. I love this quote. Listen to this. Am I helping you any? Yes. Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer much because they live in a gray twilight that knows not victory or defeat. Oh, man, yeah. You ever fell on your face, Pastor? Oh, gosh. But here's the thing. I just keep getting out of the boat. I just keep getting out. No, I'm just, you know, and that's, but what I'm saying is if I looked at my past, I could have reason to say, Lord, at best, my My past is checkered. I've had some victories. I've had some defeats. Probably that's the record testimony of most of us. But here's the thing. I've known the joy of victory. I know the joy of believing God, of seeing the miraculous, of seeing God come through, of taking to some degree the limits off of God and watching God work. Enough to know that if we will begin to take the limitations off, guard our gatekeeper, allow the Word of God to come into our mind, to dwell there, and to get into our heart, I'm telling you what, we will eat the good of this Christian life. We will have the victory of God in our lives. And listen, if I have victory, that means I can help you get victory. If I am drowning, I cannot rescue you. Remember what I said, faith allows the greatness and the largeness of God in you to come forth. Doubt reduces, faith increases. An increase of faith always precedes increase in my life. Because we walk by faith. We live by faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Isn't that right? So unless there's an increase in faith, then how does that come? By hearing what? I got to hear God's word. I got to allow the Holy Spirit to say, look, let me show you something else about Jesus here. Let me show you something else about the kingdom here. Let me show you something else about God's purpose and God's will for your life and for the church. Let me show you how God wants to use you. Let me show you how God wants to deal with that area of your life and grow you up more like Jesus. You know, when you hear that word and you react and you respond to it properly, faith comes. And as soon as that faith comes, you're going to lay hold of what God has for you. And as soon as you lay hold of that thing, there's going to be increase in your life. Whatever it is, whether it's increase in peace, increase in wisdom, increase moving from the acceptable into the perfect will of God, there's increase that comes to your life. But faith always precedes increase. Remember the first time Peter tried to walk on water, he didn't do too good. But the second time, he did all right. How many of you know he walked on water twice? Some of y'all looking like y'all don't know that. He did. How do you think he got back to the boat? If you say he flew, that's even a greater miracle. No, he walked back. Second time he did all right, didn't he? Well, he's got me beat. He's one for two. I ain't never walked on the water. That's pretty good. Isn't that right? What happened? There must have been some increase in his faith. There must have been something that happened there. He said, hey, man, Jesus is walking on it. Maybe I can too. So he said, the Bible says he walked with Jesus back to the boat. I mean, Jesus wasn't walking and, you know, he didn't say that Peter went back piggyback to the boat. He walked on the water and went back. Glory to God. Don't you know he was glad he tried it the second time? The Bible talks about this. Little faith in the Bible, great faith, growing faith. You know what God wants us to have? Growing faith. But here's the thing. If we don't do something with the gatekeeper, if we don't change the mark we've set in our lives, we don't want to limit God. Let's raise the bar. Let's purpose with God's help. You know what? Starting today, God, I'm going to raise the bar. I'm going to have a greater expectation. I'm going to begin to feed on your word even more. I'm going to allow faith to rise in my heart. I'm going to begin to not just quote that scripture in a religious way. All things are possible to God and all things are possible to him that believe. I want to live it. I mean, that's how crazy I am. I just want to live this stuff. I want to do it. You know, I don't want to watch somebody else have all the fun. I want to get in on it. I'm glad that Peter walked on the water. Man, I'd like to get in on some of that. Amen. I'm glad he raised the dead. I'd like to get in on some of that. I'm glad, you know, that somebody was able to give and through their giving help to finance the gospel to reach a nation. I'd like to get in on some of that. Amen. I don't want to just sit in the corner. Real quickly, how can we increase our faith? Well, we know this. Faith comes by hearing. We already know that, don't we? But here's the thing. When I want to just say this, that faith comes by hearing is not automatic. Because in Hebrews 4, it says that the Israelites, they had the gospel preached to them, and it didn't profit them. It said because they did not what? Mix faith. Faith comes, but you got to mix it. Are you listening? See, we think, oh, I sit in church and, you know, and I hear the scriptures quoted or the preacher or whoever it is, and they're talking about that. So I hear the Bible a lot, but here's the thing. Are you mixing any faith with it? And here's where I want to read this, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Mark chapter 4, listen to this. Because this is the kicker right here. How are we going to increase? Jesus said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So it's not just that you hear. Jesus said it's how you hear. It's how you hear. Because how you hear, Jesus said, determines the virtue that's going to come back to you. That's going to determine what? The degree of what God is able to do in our lives. It has to do with what? The limitations we take off of God. If you just hear God flippantly, you hear Him for a few minutes on Sunday, but you don't ever take the time to on your own to think about it, to meditate in it, to get in the Word, to pray, ask God to show you, to begin to act on that Word, then I want to tell you what? You're going to get very little results. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Is anybody out there? I'm not boring you, am I? I want to help you. We're talking about increase, taking the limitations off. Thought, study, and care of what you're hearing. He said, that's going to determine what the degree that it's going to come back to you. The measure of what is going to come back to you. Some people get more out of the Word than others. Some people get more. Faith comes to them more because what? Of the way they hear. They put thought, they put study, they put effort, they put time. Hello? Listen, don't say that you want more of God when your actions don't show it. Be honest. Amen. The Bible says in an honest heart, God can work. I've had God deal with me about things before, and I said, well, so what are you planning to do? I wasn't really thinking about doing anything. He said, oh, I would talk to God. Well, he already knew it. Wasn't no use me lying, adding on top of it. He done caught me in disobedience. I sure wasn't going to lie on top of it. I mean, I'm not the smartest, you know, sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm smarter than that. Oh, no, God. You know, it's amazing. No. Just be honest. Say, God, you know what? I had a greater expectation than what I was putting into it. Because I wasn't giving it any thought. I wasn't giving it any study. I wasn't giving it any meditation. I wasn't really giving myself to it. Oh my goodness. Some, turn real quickly, Leviticus 19. A couple of more scriptures I want to read. We're going to close here in just a minute. It's 2 minutes to 12. How many of you are all right? You won't turn into a pumpkin. I won't be much longer, I promise. Leviticus 19. God told this to Israel. He said, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your domestic animals breed with a different kind of animal. Now here's where I want to go. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed. This is why some people limit God. They're sowing their field with mixed seed. I hear a little bit of God's Word, then I listen to a whole lot more of what the world's saying. Remember Jesus in the parable of the sower? How many of you remember that? There, he sowed seed on all the field. But only 25% of it produced anything. The proportion is 1/4 of the people who hear the gospel do so in a way and in a manner that will produce and take the limitations off of God in their life. You know, one of the things you struggle in as a pastor with ministry is this very fact. Because there's something in you that wants everybody. I want everybody to be blessed. I want everybody to be healed. I want everybody to know the goodness of God. I want everybody to be hungry for God. But the truth is, Jesus said they wouldn't. And so since I don't know who will or who won't, I'm like the sower. I cast the seed on all of it. But I have determined, under God, with God's help, I'm going to be in the 25%. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to give myself to it. I tell you, because I've already had some of this other stuff. Maybe some of y'all were just so good all your life. You know, as man says, good. But I know without God what would happen to me. I have to give it all. And I want to see God move in your life. But here's the thing. I can only take the limitations off for me, not for you. In Hosea chapter 10. Hosea 10, verse 12. He says here, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. You know, if we want increase, how would a farmer get increase? Huh? He'd have to plant. First step would definitely be he's going to have to plant some more seed, isn't he? I can't plant, 10 seed and expect to reap, 100-acre yield. It's not going to happen, is it? If I plant an acre, I can't expect a 10-acre yield. He said, so first thing is, he said, well, break up some of your ground. See, this wrong thinking limits us. And so what happens is there's a lot of our ground that is fallow. There's so much possibility yet in us. There's so much more land where God could sow his seed, where it could be planted in you and bring forth righteousness and bring forth the life of God. But our limited thinking has set that land aside as that can't be used. All we've got planted is this small little plot that our gatekeeper let us plant. He said, oh yeah, salvation, yeah, we can plant that. We can plant a row of that. Healing, well, yeah, I guess we can plant a row of that. But then we get over here in some other things about being set free, about God using us to make a difference in our generation. Whatever it may be, or getting free from some things. No. And our gatekeeper said, nope, we can't plant that ground. And he's saying here, it's time to what? Break up some of that ground. How are we going to break it up? We're going to what? Get back in the Word and let the Word be like a plow. And begin to break it up, and break up that old wrong thinking that says God can't, and I won't, and I'll never be free, and I'll never know peace, and I'll never, my marriage will never work, or whatever it is. Break that up. Amen. Thank you for that one, amen. I'll take it. One more scripture, and then we're going to let you go. One of these days, you guys, we're gonna go 2-3 hours. I know. Some of y'all not ready for that. You gotta take off the limits. Take off the limits. Hello. Isn't it amazing? We can watch a football game that long. Golf game. Go shopping. I'm meddling, I know. Jeremiah, isn't that right? See, but that goes back, and we wonder why we can't get the limitations off. Hello. Next time there's a problem, call on Macy. 4-3. Yeah, I would if I went that long. Listen to this one more time. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, and we could say, grace. People of grace. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Stop right there a minute. Break up your and do not sow among thorns. In other words, get the thorns out. All that wrong thinking, get it out. Get your gatekeeper. Stop having a schizophrenic gatekeeper. I wasn't the first to say that. James said that. He called it double-minded. Two minds, two thoughts, two ways. You know, I've given you this little example before. But if I want to go to the edge of this platform, well, it's maybe 3-4 feet. If I go, how long will it take me to get there? It's right there. I can see it. Won't take long. Yes, sir. We're going forward. Hallelujah. We see it. It's right there. We know God wants us to get there. He wants it. But then what? Well, I don't know if I can. Yeah, we can. No, I don't know. Yeah, but we, God said, yeah, but you know. And so we become double-minded, and we're taking one step forward, one step back. One step forward, one step back. And you know, if I just could break out of my limitations, I got the one step down. But if I could just break out of my limitations and take one more step, one more step. For some of you, that's all you need is one more step. Oh, hallelujah. You could break out of that old way of thinking. You could reset the limitations higher in your life. And God could do more. God could use you more. God could work more, whatever area it might be. God could bless you more. Some of you need to let God to bless you. I know that's hard. That's harder than you're saying, well, bless God, bring it on. But it doesn't happen just because you say bring it on one time. This gatekeeper controls this governor, which Jesus said, it's got to come out of the heart. 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 For with the heart, man, heart. Jesus said, out of the heart. So I want to encourage you. Think about an area. Just take a minute. We're going to close. Think about where have you put the limits on God? You know, and most of us, we didn't sit around and say, well, let's see, I just want to limit God every way I can. I'm not talking about that. But the Holy Spirit will show us where we have set limits on God. If there are areas in our life where we don't have victory, where we're struggling, things like that. You know what? It's because we've set limits on God. It's not because, you know, we set limits and then we come up with this way of excusing ourselves. Well, you know, God just don't want everybody to be free. Hello? I mean, I've heard Christians say, you know, that God, you know, that God knows and knows that, you know, that nobody can live above sin. Well, how in the world are we going to get to heaven? Ain't no sin going up there. We set limitations on God. You know why? Because we're not willing to do like Jesus said, give it thought, effort, study, and break up the fallow ground. It's easier to make excuses and call it doctrine.